Well, thank you for the welcome. I'm always pleased to come to this meeting. I've been coming for a few years now, and I do thank God for the continued testimony. I remember as a young boy coming to these meetings and remember seeing some of the old men who used to preach at those meetings. And I used to think, my word, how can they do it, these old men? They used to stumble into the pulpit that we had in Alliance Hall, and I always think they won't make it up those steps. And now I'm an old man, but I'm glad to be here and to continue to share with you in the Word of God. I'm also glad to be the first speaker on this particular subject. I said to Paul, who I'm very pleased to be under his chairmanship once again tonight, I said, Paul, I'm going to speak on all the subjects for a whole year. Because when you look at prophecy, I don't know how you divide it up. Of course, Stephen has divided it up. He's very clever and he divides everything up. And so he's done that, and I'm sure that it's going to be very, very good. But many of the subjects this year do really overlap. Now, because I'm first, you can't say I'm copying those who've gone before. In fact, what you have to say is they're all going to copy me after this tonight, because I'm going to say it all anyway. Not quite as bad as that, but nevertheless, I do think that many of the subjects will overlap. But then that's a good thing, because sometimes we need, don't we, to be refreshed by the Word of God, and we need to be told again and again and again and again, and we still don't take it in sometimes, do we? And that's why, of course, we continually read the Word of God. And as we continually read the Word of God, it's always fresh, always new, always something new, isn't it, in the Word of God, isn't it? I've read it 20 times. You read it the 21st time, look at that, I've never seen that before. And that's the Word of God, isn't it? No other books like that, only the Bible. So tonight we're going to speak about the importance of prophecy. And as we have been reminded by our secretary, it's an important subject to speak about the importance of prophecy. As a preacher, I always like to begin with a text, and so I want you to turn your Bibles to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation and chapter 1. A verse which will be very familiar to all of us, but nevertheless, once again, let us read it. It's Revelation 1 and verse 3. And so we can share. I'm going to ask you, at least for this verse, let's all read it together. Sure, we've got all the same version. If you haven't, well, you just stop and listen to us. We're reading from the proper version, which is the Authorised King James Version. So, Revelation 1 and verse 3, we'll commence now. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You know, you may say, of course, that this verse refers to the book of Revelation, and of course we must say it does. But it also refers to the whole of the Bible, doesn't it? And in particular, it refers to prophecy. And what it actually says there, that there is a special blessing for those who hear, for those who read, for those who hear, and those who keep the words of this prophecy. And it seems to me that that's a good place for us to begin tonight. And if we want a special blessing from the Lord, here it is. We can claim it, can't we, as a blessing which God has promised in his own precious and holy word. You know, there are many reasons why prophecy is so very important. And I want to try just briefly to give you these by way of introduction before we really get into the meat of our subject. First of all, it's estimated that one third of the whole of the Bible is to do with prophecy, exclusively occupied by prophecy. Now, if that is so, if we neglect this one third, all we're doing is we've only got two thirds of a Bible. And there are many, many people today in this land of ours who only preach from two thirds of the Bible and never, ever touch the other third. Now, that seems strange to me. That just shows you something of the importance of it, doesn't it? And the second thing is this. Prophecy in the past has been fulfilled to the very letter, hasn't it? You know that. When we think about Christ and we think of all the prophecies that were fulfilled in Christ, they were fulfilled literally, very, right to the very letter. And what that does is it authenticates the scriptures. It proves to us that the Bible must be true and the prophecy must be true. And then the third thing that we have to say here is that much of that one third of the Bible which deals with prophecy has still to be fulfilled. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand what the Bible says about what is going to be fulfilled. In fact, let me say again, and I'm quoting these sort of figures to you, two thirds of all of the prophecy of the Bible has still to be fulfilled. That's remarkable. It really is. And when you think of the input of that, listen, we ought to know what prophecy says, and we ought to know that prophecy really is important. You see, as far as we're concerned, the Bible is not a dead book of the past. You don't read the Bible just for history, do we? Of course we don't. We look back and we thank God and we praise God for the way in which he's led and guided and directed. And yet we need to know and understand that that isn't the end, it isn't the finish. This is a living book. And because it's a living book, it's a book of the future. And we can know what God says concerning what will take place in his own precious word. Now the fourth thing why I believe that it's important for us to study prophecy is that all the great doctrines that we believe in are connected to prophecy. You know, most people don't believe this or even understand it. I wish I had time to develop that, and maybe one of your subjects will be developing that during the year. But all the great doctrines of the Bible are connected to prophecy. Now, some will say to me, ah, yes, but it seems that prophecy is not as important as some of those other great doctrines. For instance, prophecy is not as important as redemption. Prophecy is not as important as atonement. Prophecy is not as important as, say, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would remind you this. We believe that truth, that's the whole truth of God, is a vast heavenly unity. And there is a harmony in the whole body of divinity that we have throughout the scriptures. And if you break one part, you've broken a chain or a link, because the link is broken and the chain is broken as well. And so we must understand quite clearly that when we speak about the whole counsel of God, the whole counsel of God must indeed include prophecy and doctrine. And that seems to me to be so important for me to underline it, because there are very few churches in our country today that actually preach anything about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ or anything to do with prophecy. People try to escape from it because they think they don't understand it, or they're prejudiced against it, or maybe there's a multitude of reasons. But nevertheless, don't let us be like that. Because the whole counsel of God must be understood by the believer. Now, I want to begin with my first point, really, concerning this. And really, it's a point which I call clarification. I want to try to clarify our thinking on this. And I ask myself the question, what is prophecy? What do we mean when we speak about prophecy? It seems to me that in this day in which we live, and perhaps any day, it's always been important to be accurate in our terminology. And if we're not accurate in our terminology, then error creeps in. And when we look back, it has been very often that the church has not been accurate in its terminology, and therefore error has crept in. And we ought to ourselves understand that. The reason why creeds have been formed and statements of faith and churches have statements of doctrine and so on is because of that very reason, that we want to be accurate in our terminology of what we really believe. Then what do we believe concerning prophecy? Now, somehow it seems to me that whenever we mention the word prophecy, it should remind us of the prophets of the Old Testament. And I think that is a fair comment. Someone has said that Egypt had its pharaohs, Greece had its philosophers, Rome had its Caesars and military power, but Israel had its prophets. And that was the distinguishing mark of the ancient people that we read of in history. And the importance of this particular word prophet, or the words around it, is shown in that it's mentioned some 400 times in the scriptures, and then even 150 times more with its derivatives of that particular word. Well then, let me again try to give you a definition. A definition of a prophet. Because if we can find out that, we may be able to determine in our hearts and minds what we really mean by this prophecy, and not be caught up with all the hubble and the bubble of what people seem to try and teach about that today. Who were the prophets? What did they do? And why did they do what they did? Well, let's be simple, because we can then understand it, every one of us. A prophet spoke for God. And if we just left it at that, we would understand it, because they did, didn't they? All the prophets of the Old Testament spoke for God. In fact, I want to give you a quotation here by Augustine. Augustine said this, and I think it's a good quotation. The prophet of God is nothing else but the teller forth of the words of God to man. Now that's what a prophet is, isn't it? The prophet of God is nothing else but the teller forth of the words of God to man. You know, it's interesting, to me at least, the Hebrew word here, and some of the Hebrew words are always very picturesque. They're always very full. And the actual Hebrew word for a prophet means simply this: to bubble forth as a fountain. Just imagine that. Here's a prophet. What is he? He's a person who bubbles forth like a fountain. Isn't that a picture of a prophet? You know, the same thought, in fact, is in Psalm 45. And you may be able to remember Psalm 45. But in verse 1 it says, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." You somehow got the enthusiasm there, haven't you? And in that particular verse, it seems to me that you have this bubbling forth that is really in the heart and mind of the prophet. Now, two things about a prophet. First of all, he never ever spoke of himself. And then secondly, he was never chosen by man. A king was chosen, and a tribe was chosen, the city was chosen, very often for various things and for various duties, but God and God alone chose the prophet and sent him forth. And you can see that as well in Deuteronomy in chapter 18 and verses 15 and 18. Now let me, if I can, summarise something about a prophet of the Old Testament which will help us determine and come to a point whereby we understand what they said was prophecy. First of all, the prophet always gave personal communication direct from heaven. Now, we know these things, don't we? But remind yourself of this. Hear a personal communication direct from heaven. You'll know that very often the prophet in the Old Testament was called a man of God. And that wasn't just because of his conduct. It was because they expected him to preach and to speak as the word of God to them. You know that God always gave revelation, and God appeared sometimes of himself by revelation. But mainly in the Old Testament, he appeared by revelation through the word and through the word of the prophet. Sometimes they were historians. It's interesting to read, and perhaps you'd like to turn to this. It's found in 1 Chronicles. And in 1 Chronicles, we have a reference there concerning some of the prophets. 1 Chronicles, and the last chapter of that, 29, and in fact, verse 29 as well. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 29. "Now the acts of David, the king, First and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer. Very interesting, because many of the prophets, their duty and their task was to keep record of what actually took place. Now, another thing we say about the prophets was this, that they were preachers of morals and of ethics. And we all understand and we know this, of course, but I'm just reminding you these things. They would remind the nation concerning their conduct personally, their conduct socially, their conduct in business life as well. In fact, a prophet was always a watchman for the nation, one who reminded them that they must keep the law. They were guardians of righteousness. We may remember, of course, how that David sinned with Bathsheba, and it was Nathan the prophet who came to him and pointed the finger to him, and in convicting power said, "Thou art the man." And that, of course, is exactly what all the prophets did. So wherever you turn in the Old Testament, whether it's what usually are termed as major or minor prophets, doesn't matter who you turn to, it was the finger of God saying, "Thou art the man." They were always men of conviction. And then they were, and this is another important point, they were revealers of God's will. You'll remember how the prophets were consulted whether the nation should go to war or not. Remember the well-known story of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and how Ahab, of course, didn't like the prophet of God, but rather had his own prophet there, who was a man-pleaser, and that was the only one that he liked to give him any advice at all. But the man of God, the man who was inspired of God, gave him the truth each time. And they were revealers of the will of God. Now, when you take all these things together, you will see something of what a prophet in the Old Testament really was like. Now, there's one other thing here as well, and that is this, and we're thinking of the definition of a prophet here. He had a supernatural message. Now, so far, we've been thinking of what he did at that particular time. But also, this supernatural message thought also of the future. He was a predictor of future events. And again, how remarkable that is, that a man should be known and should understand that God was speaking to him concerning the future, and he would be a predictor of future events. Someone has called prophecy, and I think this is worth quoting again, history before it comes about. And that is exactly what prophecy is. Prophecy is history before it comes about. Think of the Jews and the history of the Jews. Isn't it all in the Word of God? They're scattering and they're restoring, and the trouble they've had and so on. Think of Christ, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his death upon the cross, his resurrection. Isn't it all recorded here in the Old Testament? So, yes, we do understand that prophecy is history before it comes about. And then you can think of the world powers that have been. They're all described in the Word of God before it ever comes about. And so tonight we can say with great confidence this fact, that prophecy becomes true literally and completely and absolutely. It always does. And that, of course, is the importance of prophecy that we are trying to think together. But there's two other things I want to say about this prophet. And remember, we're saying quite a good deal about the prophets. A prophet was one who comforted the nation. Remember those wonderful words that comes from the book of Isaiah? Maybe you'd like to turn to them, but you should know them, of course. Isaiah 40 and verses 1 and 2. "Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, I'm not going to try to interpret when or how that should be. All I'm trying to say is, here is a prophet who is giving that word. And very often, prophets were given the word of comfort to the people of their day and of their age. Last thing in definition concerning a prophet, and I've given you many things about it, so that we can have a look at all the sides of what a prophet was. He was to faithfully deliver the word of God. You'll remember that in Ezekiel 2 and elsewhere in that book, he is told that he must speak only the word of God. Whether the people will hear the word or whether they will forbear, they must speak the word of God. That's true of any true preacher today, of course. That preacher must be a watchman. And it's true just what it says about the prophet. If they will not preach the word of God, then the blood of those people would be upon them. But if they did, they have delivered their soul, and their own blood will be upon their own head. The responsibility is placed upon them. And so when we think about the prophet of the Old Testament, and we consider all about it, how remarkable this is. What an awesome task it was to be a prophet for God. And what a remarkable thing it was to know the prophecy, the word of God to the people of that day and that age. So we pass from our definition now to speak about what I call the demand for the prophet. And I want to remind you tonight that God's natural order with his people was always through the priest. It was through the tabernacle and through the temple. The priest must be a teaching priest. He must be a minister of the temple. He must pray and he must offer the sacrifices. This was the office of a priest. And it was his job, of course, also as the high priest would bless the people as well. But when the people of God backslid, when they turned their back upon God, when they left God, God sent a prophet. And you will find that that is true on every occasion. We never ever read of a prophet in times of revival or times of blessing. Only in times of backsliding, God sent a prophet to convict the people and to show them how wrong they had been. So the definition we've seen and the demand we've seen. And now, what about the duty of this prophet? Well, the duty of a prophet was simply to be faithful to God. These are simple things to most of us here tonight, and we remind ourselves that how unfaithful men and women have been all down the ages, and how unfaithful we are ourselves. But the simple duty of a prophet was to be faithful to God. And it's interesting the words that are used concerning the prophet. For instance, first of all, we read in the Old Testament the word seer. He was to be a seer. I turn now to Samuel, and I don't make any apology for you to turn to the Bible. That's why you've got a Bible in your hand. Some people think that they have a Bible in their hand just to follow the reading and then go to sleep. Well, you